Our scripture reading for this morning is John chapter 19, verses 25 to 30. By God's grace, let us be attentive to the reading of God's word. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother-in-law's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took him into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So he put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Thanks be to God for the gift of his word. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, as we come into this sanctuary on this Good Friday, make us aware of the depth of your love and the depth of our need for your grace. And in so doing, may we draw close to you, embracing the good news, be prepared to live out that good news in ways that bring you glory and hope to a world that is hurting. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have gathered here today on Good Friday to read Scripture, to sing songs of faith, to prepare our hearts to celebrate the good news, the resurrection of hope that we have in Jesus being raised from the dead. Good Friday powerfully emphasizes that before we can come to the empty tomb, we must first come to the foot of the cross. And I hope it's safe to say, that each one of us is under no illusions that we've walked through these doors into this house of prayer as perfect people. We are aware that we need God's grace, and we need God's grace each and every day. Good Friday marks the day in which Jesus the Christ suffered, was crucified on a cross, died on Calvary Hill. It is a day to remember what your sins, my sins, and the sins of all people made it necessary for Jesus to die if we are to truly be reconciled to a holy God. It's been said at the cross, as Jesus was being crucified, God's justice and God's love kissed. It came together. The death of one who was sinless, who knew no sin, opened the door so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins and be restored back into a loving relationship with God. Good Friday is a powerful and compelling reminder of just how desperately our need is for God's grace in our lives. During the time Jesus was crucified on the cross, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, combined to give us the seven last sayings of Jesus. This morning, I'm focusing on the sixth saying of Jesus, "It is finished." If you're wondering if it's finished, what could possibly be the seventh saying? Jesus follows that by saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." The obvious question is, what did Jesus mean when he said, "It is finished"? As we look around our world and see hatred and violence and terrorism, injustice, death, destruction, and all the rest, I think it's a fair question to ask, what exactly did Jesus finish when he died on the cross? The word Jesus uses to proclaim "it is finished" is a word that people would write on a bill after it had been paid. The bill is dealt with, it is finished, the price has been paid. Jesus has taken on the sin of the world, including your sin and my sin, and laid down his life to pay the price for our sins. Why all this talk of sin? It makes me uncomfortable. I know it makes other people uncomfortable. I have had conversations with people that the talk of sin actually is a major barrier to them coming to church and coming to God, or coming to Jesus. One person said to me that the idea that God would judge me, that turns me off to religion, church, and God. Shouldn't God just accept me the way I am, non-judgmentally? And of course, we understand, as we come to God's Word, that God does love us as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us as we are. And as I mentioned earlier, God's holiness and justice and God's love, both attributes of a holy God, a almighty sovereign God, and it shows God's love for us. He was willing to sacrifice His, as Chris said in John 3:16, His one and only Son, that whoever believes might be saved and have eternal life. Last night, Chris mentioned about going to a jeweler's store, and you see the black velvet on top of the jeweler's counter, and you have the diamond on top of that, and the black velvet highlights the darkness that comes from Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, and the diamond reflects Easter. That example has also been expressed in different ways, and one way I think that's relevant for Good Friday is that the black velvet backdrop is the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, and the brokenness that this world experiences. That's the black backdrop. A gold necklace on top of that reflects the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ that has come to save us, redeem us, and reconcile us to our Heavenly Father. This is why Good Friday is referred to as good. From a human perspective, we would really call it God-awful Friday, but we call it Good Friday because of what took place and the benefits that resulted. What the Jewish and Roman authorities did to Jesus was definitely not good. However, the results of Christ's death are very good. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes, "But God demonstrated His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In 1 Peter 3, we read, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." In a fallen, violent, dangerous world, "It is finished" is filled with good news. As we come to the cross, we see the sovereignty of God working through human beings, working through human history. You may have had conversations with people who are skeptics or really even antagonistic to the Christian faith. And they will basically, some will say, "Well, if Jesus was really the Son of God, you know, why did He have to suffer, but why was He seemingly taken up by the authorities, beaten, mocked? Why would He allow Himself to do that? Wasn't He really just a political person who got caught up in events beyond His control and paid the price by dying on a cross? Isn't that really what happened?" And the Christian response unresolvedly says, "No, that is not why Jesus went to the cross. It was completely under the perfect time and will of the Father." You read through the Scriptures, and we read again and again, it was not His time. God was in complete control of the events that led through Jesus' rest and crucifixion all the way to the resurrection. So we have to understand God's sovereignty as we come to Good Friday. From the beginning, Matthew's gospel tells us that God appeared to Joseph, Mary's husband, in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin," a foreshadowing of Good Friday. John the Baptist declared that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Again, a foreshadowing of Good Friday. Jesus early on in His public ministry says, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life." And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It's interesting to reflect on the cross not reflecting the power of the Roman Empire, but the power of God being used for the salvation and redemption of the world. Leslie Newbegin, a well-known missionary, theologian, missionary to India a long time ago, he wrote this, that the crucifixion of a man should be the ultimate manifestation of the glory of God is as scandalous to Jewish messianism as it is absurd to Greek philosophy. But it is true, for the glory of God is the outpouring of love which is supremely revealed in the obedience of Jesus to death and in the action of the Father who gives his only Son for the life of the world. Application. How is this relevant to us? Well, first of all, it should be relevant because it reveals the character of God. I've said before that we can only trust God as far as we really know God. It's easy for us to create God in our own image based on our own limitations, our own fears, our own negative experiences, and box God in. But when we come to the Scriptures, we have that box blown apart and we see the revelation of God's character in ways that bring Him glory and that bring us hope. So in hard times like that, as we think about Good Friday, when everything might be blowing up or breaking loose in someone's life, they're discouraged, they can't connect the dots about why all these bad things are happening. And the thing I like about Christianity is, again, we can be honest and we can be real. We don't have to stick our heads in the sand. We don't have to go through life with a Pollyannish attitude. We can call it for what it is and have the courage to go forward and make a difference, trusting that at the cross, God has revealed His love for us and that God is with us even in the hard times as well as the good times. And so as we look to the cross on this Good Friday, and hard times might be happening and go, well, where is God? It's as if God is saying, as Jesus is being crucified, I know you're going through hard times. I know there are times in life where it just doesn't make sense. There's no way you can connect the dots this side of heaven. But because I've revealed my love for you through Jesus, laying down his life for your sins, because I've revealed my love to you tangibly and powerfully, can I trust God for those things we can't possibly make sense of right now? And Good Friday also lifts up the freedom that we have, the freedom in Christ. It is finished doesn't mean you have to earn God's love. It is finished means that we are saved by grace and not by works. Good news on a God-awful Friday. Think about a parent-child relationship. Every parent has had the joy of having to discipline their child. That's just the way it works. I can think back when I was disciplined, and I can certainly think back when Pam and I have had to impose discipline. But we never would want to impose discipline or to have a relationship with our children so that they cowered when we came into the room. We would hope, we would pray that the love we've demonstrated to them would be stronger than any discipline that we had to carry out, and they would know that the discipline that we expressed towards them was based out of our love for them, that they might learn, they might grow, and they might mature to be responsible adults and to understand God's love and call in their own life. The first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, we've repeated this time and again, what is the chief end of man? The answer, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. How can we find any joy on Good Friday when Jesus was crucified on a cross? In Hebrews 12, we read, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken His seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we read, now I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which you also are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I have handed on to you of first importance What is the first importance in the Apostle Paul's mind? What I in turn had received. The first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The good news, the gospel in a nutshell. It is finished. For the crowd that yelled, "Crucify him," it is finished for the Roman soldiers who nailed Jesus to the cross. It is finished for the thief that hung crucified next to Jesus. It is finished for Mary and John. It's also finished for you and for me. Jesus said, "It is finished. The price has been paid. The debt has been settled. Jesus' work on the cross is finished." But, and this is key as we leave this house of prayer from this Good Friday service. It is finished in Jesus' work on the cross, paying the price for our sins and reconciling us to our Heavenly Father. But Jesus is not finished with you or with me. In Philippians we read, "I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." God is not through with you. God is working in your lives to help each one of us to grow, to become more the person he's created us to be, and that means to reflect more and more the image of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:18 we read, and all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed, an ongoing work of God in our lives, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Thanks be to God for his sacrificial love, which he displayed supremely in his son Jesus on the cross. Thanks be to God for Good Friday. Amen.